We all tuned up. State Board of Education will please come to order. And Ms. Bertzel, would you please call the roll?
Board Member Flores?
Here.
Board Member Goff?
Here.
Board Member Masnick?
Here.
Board Member Rankin?
Here.
Board Member Scheffel?
Here.
Board Member Schroeder?
Here.
And Chairman Durham?
Present. A quorum is present. We'll ask Joyce Rankin to please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
As a reminder, it's one nation under God, one praise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
I move we approve the agenda.
Okay. Is there a second to that motion? Yes. Dr. Scheffel seconds the motion. Is there objection to the adoption of that motion? Seeing none, that motion is declared adopted by a vote of 7-0. Let's see here now. Let's see. Do we have a motion about the consent agenda? Yes.
I move to place the following matters on the consent agenda. 13.01, regarding disciplinary proceedings concerning an application charge number 2013-EC-1987. Direct department staff to issue a notice of denial and appeal rights to the applicant pursuant to section 24-4-104 CRS. 13.02, regarding disciplinary proceedings concerning an authorization and applications, charge number 2014-EC-1021A, direct department staff to issue a notice of denial and appeal rights to the applicant pursuant to section 24-4-104 CRS. And direct department staff and the State Attorney General's office to prepare the documents necessary to request a formal hearing for the annulment or revocation of the holder's license and authorization pursuant to section 22-60.5-108 CRS. 13.04, regarding disciplinary proceedings concerning a license, charge number 2015-EC-978, direct department staff and the Attorney General's office to prepare the documents necessary to request a formal hearing for the revocation of the holder's license pursuant to section 22-60.5-108 CRS. 13.05, approve 5 initial emergency authorizations as set forth in the published agenda. 13.06, approve 1 renewal emergency authorization as set forth in the published agenda. 15.02, approve Denver Public Schools innovation.
Yes, Dr. Flores.
I want to call that one.
Okay.
And I want to call 1502 and 1503 and 1504.
So there is a request to remove 1501.
There's not a 1501.
Well, 1502 through 1504.
1502 through 1504 from the consent agenda. The consent agenda requires unanimous consent, so for those three items, it's withheld, and they will be removed from the motion for approval.
Okay. Shall I continue?
Please.
15.05, approve Falcon School District 49's amended innovation application on behalf of Horizon Middle School, as set forth in the published agenda. 15.06, approve Falcon School District 49's amended innovation application on behalf of Evans International School, as set forth in the published agenda. 15.07-15.29, approve the waiver requests action items 15.07 through 15.29 inclusive as set forth in the published agenda. This is the end of the consent agenda.
Is there, the motion has been made for the approval of the consent agenda, excluding the three items noted by Dr. Flores. Is there a second to that motion? Yes, Ms. Goff. It's been moved and seconded. Is there objection to the approval of the consent agenda as read by Dr. Schroeder? Seeing none, that motion will be declared adopted on a unanimous vote. Thank you. Now we'll proceed to Commissioner Asp, your, I believe we're on item six, your report.
That is it, Mr. Chair.
Yes. Yes, Ms. Birdsall, your report.
Thank you.
I knew we were getting a report here.
Good morning, Chairman Durham, members of the board, and Interim Commissioner Asp. I'd like to let everybody know that CDE has a new guest wireless, and it is called CDE Hotspot. It looks like this. And we have copies of this sitting outside on the handout table. And just so everybody knows, the code of the day for this hotspot is SILVER with a capital S. So I wanted to let everyone know of that. And I'd also love to give my friendly reminder to please speak clearly into your microphones. The audio streaming of these meetings is a critical way in which we ensure the State Board meetings are open to the public. In addition, our recording becomes our official record of the meeting, and it's truly imperative that your constituents can hear your comments and your votes. So, in your board packets today, you have the following materials. You have the quick glance expense report and the events calendar. For item 7.01, you have a copy of the draft 2016 legislative priorities. For item 8.01, you have the Elementary and Secondary Education Act flexibility waiver renewal PowerPoint. For item 10.01, you have the kindergarten school readiness PowerPoint, a copy of the gold options for kindergarten entry assessment items, and a summary of school readiness initiatives within CAT4K, Colorado's Achievement Plan for Kids. For item 12.01, you have a copy of America's Top Colorado High Schools in 2015 by Newsweek High School Rankings. For item 13.07, you have a memo from Colleen O'Neill and Jeff Blanford regarding the educator licensing fees, as well as an accompanying PowerPoint. For item 14.01, you have the draft policy for private gifts, grants, and donations. For items 15.02 through 15.06, you have copies of materials pertaining to Denver Public Schools and Falcon School District 49's request for innovation applications. For item 16.01, you will have a copy of the rules for the administration of the Exceptional Children's Education Act, both in track changes in a clean version, as well as a crosswalk between the Office of Legislative Legal Services feedback and the rule. For item 16.02, you have a copy of the School Turnaround Leaders Development Grant Program PowerPoint and the evaluation report that will be given to the Colorado Legislature. For item 17.01, you have a copy of the data privacy update on the contracts, a PowerPoint of that. For item 19.01, you have a copy of Colorado's high school graduation menu of options. And moving on to Thursday, for that, you will have a copy of the embargoed CMAS Park 2015 achievement results, participation results, and the accompanying PowerPoint. We'll provide the hard copies to you at the end of the day. We did provide you with the electronic version earlier this week. For item 5.01, you have a memo from Colleen O'Neill regarding the educator preparation and licensing rules, the accompanying PowerPoint, a copy of the redline rules, the exceptions document, which is a side-by-side of the rule, statute reference, updated information in the rules, and justification for those changes. You have a copy of the formal written feedback received regarding the rules, as well as staff's response to the written comments. For item 7.01, you have the post-secondary and workforce ready description PowerPoint. And for item 8.01, you have a memo from Gretchen Morgan regarding the accountability pilot, as well as a PowerPoint. For some of you, the PowerPoint may be sitting at your bench in front of you. As well as the Colorado Assessment Pilot Proposal Summary and an overview of Colorado's Assessment Pilot Proposal. And that concludes my report.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes, Ms. Goff.
Unless I missed it, this is the only of our financial relations that we got today.
We started doing just the quick glance, so just the first page to show the high level of where every board's budget is, but I'd be happy to provide you with the details.
So this is real time. This is as of when?
As of your, I'd say September reimbursement, if you're just providing me with your October reimbursement. because we're always a month behind. So since we're at the November board meeting, between the beginning of November and now, I'll have your October.
So as of the previous filing
date. Exactly.
All right, thank you. I had thoughts at one point of asking if we might have that information printed on this.
Because
with the other poll report for each of us, which is public information as well, it's often hard to tell when the ending of that is unless you leap through the entire thing.
But yeah.
Just curious.
Yeah.
As long as we know when the stop date is, that's one thing.
Okay.
Thank you for considering it.
Yes, we can add. Mm-hmm. Is that okay?
Okay. Further questions? Seeing none, Commissioner Ask, your strategic priorities report.
Yes, I'd like to invite Jennifer Mello, our legislative liaison, to discuss the legislative priorities document with the board.
Good morning. It's lovely to see you all on a nice snowy day. So I thought we would start with the legislative priorities today. Just as a reminder, at the last meeting, we didn't get a chance to discuss this, but I had provided you with just my suggestions on what I would call almost technical updates to the legislative priorities you adopted in 2015. Obviously, this is your document. It's your prerogative. If you want to suggest additional changes or have discussion about particular items, that's your role.
Questions for Ms. Mello? Okay, none. Jennifer, are you picking up any commentary at the Capitol about what kinds of education bills might be introduced, or are we still in the phase where there's little specific discussion?
Mr. Chair, yes. Certainly there is. It's a little bit more detailed than a rumor, but nothing that we've seen in writing at this point. That's kind of where we are in the phase. There are any number of issues being circulated out there. I'm happy to go through those a little bit. I think perhaps to part of what you're asking is, do our legislative priorities address some of those issues? I would say yes, we are generally well covered. I mean, I can't promise you for a fact that a bill will come along that we may not have addressed in our legislative priorities. But there's nothing particularly new under the sun. There's not a lot of, at least that I'm hearing of right now, you know, completely brand new ideas and proposals out there. So I think we're relatively well covered. Mr. Chair, would you like me to go through the kind of list of what I'm hearing about might come at the Capitol now, or do you want me to do that after we finish the legislative priorities?
Any other questions about legislative priorities?
Yes, I do.
Yes, Ms. Gore.
Very quickly. And, Jennifer, apologies if you went through this with us last month. On the last one, the data collection and access, what happened, if anything, to this original, the redlined safety priority? Where is that? It's gone now. It was crossed out. Suggested it be taken out and replaced with our, well, actually, it's more current work of ours anyway.
Mr. Chair, Board Member Goff, that was passed last year. So there was legislation last year that addressed the issue of separate reporting for marijuana discipline violations. So it just didn't seem necessary to continue to include it in our priorities.
Yes, Dr. Schroeder.
Thank you.
Do we vote on this today so that it's fine?
No.
How is it final?
Mr. Chair, and I'll defer to Busy on protocol, but typically in the past, you all have taken a vote to kind of say, yes, these are our priorities for the legislative year.
So I was trying to figure out, since this is not a voting item today, when are we done so that we can share this with legislators?
Can we do it in December?
We can certainly schedule it for a vote in December. I think that's plenty of time for this. Yes, Dr. Schroeder.
So I had a discussion last night with some legislators who represent the Hooter School District, and they told me that they had never heard of the state board's positions. And so I had a discussion with Jennifer, and she assured me that, yes, in fact, we do send that to them. Apparently, we send that to them when they are getting a hurricane of other items. And so I was wondering if perhaps, if in fact we are fine with it, if we could vote on it today so that it could be shared with them at an earlier time than when they get everything else that they can't apparently can't get through. None of these three individuals are on the education committees, so they wouldn't be looking as carefully, but they were very, they requested Jennifer's name, and they were very interested in seeing what the state board's position is on items.
Dr. Flores.
Since we haven't discussed them, and I think we should discuss them, don't you think that December would be a better time?
Well, if that's all we can do, I thought, well, this is, what, the second or third time we've had them, so I didn't know whether we are finished with them or not. So if you have some more items to discuss, then let's do that.
Yeah. I mean, I think you should continue, and I think we just looked at them, but I think we need to have them.
I agree. I would like to take a closer look at them before we vote on them, because they were, it was an information item. I haven't studied the document. So.
Further, I think we will lay it over for action to the December meeting. And December meeting's early in the month. That should be timely enough for legislators, I think. Any additional questions? Ms. Miller, you wanted to comment on the other kinds of legislation you've heard about?
Sure, Chairman Dermott. And I'll just say, on the legislative priorities, if you have questions or wondering about this in the between now and December, obviously feel free to be in touch, and I'm happy to just provide additional information if that helps you in your decision-making process for December. So here's a general overview of some of the topics I think will be important in the upcoming session around preschool and K-12 education. Obviously, the funding issues, I think, will be up front, first and foremost. You're all aware, I sent you the information last week about the governor's budget proposal, which has proposed an increase by inflation enrollment, but then a $50 million increase in the negative factor. So it is a real dollar increase in funding for K-12, but it does not adequately keep up with growth and inflation, would be the very simple way I would describe that. So that is going to be a very, very, very hot topic at the Capitol. I think that will actually consume much of the conversation around K-12 issues this particular session. Additionally, I do think we will see some continued discussion of some of the bills we saw last year around our Colorado Academic Standards and the Common Core. I think we will see continued discussion about testing, the level of testing, the amount of testing, the grades we're testing. I don't think that topic has been completely exhausted yet, so we will see more legislation on that. There are some rumors that there's been kind of repeated efforts over the last few years to enhance the accountability for online schools. I think we may see some legislation come on that again. There has been some discussion about the GED test, the adult education test, and allowing for more options than just the one test that currently we have. I think that schools and districts and the Colorado Education Association may well be bringing forth legislation around another year of timeout. So the last couple of years we've had statutory provisions adopted that for both purposes of educator effectiveness, the 191 provisions, and the school and district accountability, have essentially had a timeout because of some of the data issues and transitioning the testing system. So I think that it's likely we will see yet another request for another year of transition time in that. I think we will see, last year we discussed this quite a bit as a group. There was some legislation around charter schools in terms of increasing kind of the standard for districts to maintain exclusive chartering authority. I think that will come back. I don't know that it'll be in the exact same form as last year, but we will see that. I also think there's going to be discussion and legislation around mill levy equity and how mill levies are distributed to charter schools as well as traditional district schools, and how CSI kind of is in that mix. Last year, there was a bill that you all supported that had to do with kind of providing some incentive funding to BOCES to get them to kind of be more proactive about helping small rural districts consolidate their back office functions as a way of saving resources. I think that legislation will reappear. I'm now hearing there might be two different bills around school funding task forces. So last year there was a legislation by Representative Hamner and Representative Rankin primarily around a task force to kind of look overall at our school funding issues and how we're doing that. I think that will be coming back. There may be additional efforts by other members of the legislature on that. And then the final item I will mention is the concurrent enrollment program is something that we seem to want to talk about every year at the Capitol. So I think we will talk about that again this year. I think on the one hand, there's some desire to expand access to the concurrent enrollment program. And then there's also the community colleges have long expressed some concerns about the level of funding they receive under that program, kind of how the funding essentially gets split between the school district and the community college. So they may want to have some conversation about that and what that funding formula looks like. So that's my summary of the rumor mill. I'm almost finished here. In terms of interim committee action, the School Safety Committee decided not to move forward with any legislation at this point in time. There are three reports due out soon from the Arapahoe High School arbitration case. They said they wanted to wait and see what those had to say before they made any decisions about legislation. The non-legislative members of the School Safety Interim Committee will continue to meet into the legislative session. So the interim committee itself did not propose any legislation. That doesn't mean that once they have those folks have more information from these arbitration reports, they may very well likely decide to introduce some legislation in February or a little bit later into the session. And then finally,
Jennifer, can you remind me? Can you just expand a little bit more, because I have forgotten what the Arapahoe High School, what the three, when you started to describe some events that folks are waiting for, and I can't remember what they are.
Sure, Mr. Chair, Madam Vice Chair. My understanding is the family of Claire Davis has entered into arbitration with the school district. And as part of that arbitration process, there is some public reporting expected. Okay. I'm not familiar enough with the legal details to know why we're going to have three reports, but that's my understanding. Out of that process, there will come some reports, and folks wanted to see that before they made any decisions about legislation.
Thank you.
And then just finally, real quick, the Early Childhood Commission moved forward with three bills. Those were approved by Legislative Council yesterday. So these bills will be introduced at the beginning of January as interim committee bills. The first one allows for a state tax credit for child care expenses to begin in 2016. That is capped at, and you have to have an income of less than $85,000 in order to take advantage of that credit. The estimated cost of that is $46.2 million a year to the state. So given the budget situation, that may be an uphill battle. They also approved legislation to expand. There's something in place already called the Child Care Assistance Cliff Effect Pilot Program. That was limited to 10 counties. Now more counties can participate in the pilot as a result of their second bill, if it passes. And then finally, they did move forward with a task force to address the child care needs of low-income parents as parents seek to advance their education. That task force would be housed at the Department of Labor and Employment. The Department of Education is a named member of that task force.
Excuse me, where will it be housed?
The Colorado Department of Labor and Employment.
Okay, any questions of Ms. Mello regarding legislation that we might be seeing during the session? I would presume, would you plan to have your first meeting with the Legislative Committee in early January or in December? I'm trying to remember when it was last year.
Mr. Chair, it's obviously at the discretion of the committee itself. I'm happy to meet whenever they want. There might be some good, we might have some good discussions to start with in December if that's what you all would like to do. And I apologize, I failed to mention another big, sometimes the big ones are so big you almost forget about them, but data privacy, of course, will be a huge topic and one that you all have instructed us to take a very lead position on. You've obviously been doing that internally as a department and with the contracts the department has. You've also asked me to do that legislatively, and so we're proceeding with that as well.
All right. Very good. Dr. Scheffel is the chair of that committee, and I will ask her to schedule a meeting and confer with you when you think there's enough to discuss in terms of positions we might want to take on legislation, and particularly if Representative Lundeen's privacy bill, once there's something on paper that would probably trigger a meeting to discuss that. Anything else? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll now proceed to action item 801.
Well, do we need to discuss? I mean, I'm a little confused now. apparently there wasn't enough discussion as yet on this to vote, so shouldn't we be discussing it?
I think we'll discuss it when it's next.
When it's next up for a vote.
When we'll discuss it at the time we take action. I think.
Got it.
So
got
we'll get it on the December meeting.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll proceed now to action item 8.01, the elementary and secondary education waiver request, which we've had on the agenda and also had a study session. Any comments from anyone in staff on this? Yes, Dr. Aspen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're here to answer questions. Alyssa Pearson and also Pat Chapman are available to answer any questions you may have. Feel like we had a very good study session and an opportunity to discuss it in depth. So we're happy to take any other questions. We don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, okay. Any questions and or comments from members of the board? Yes?
I'll make a motion.
Yes, good point. Dr. Schroeder, would you like to make a motion, please?
I move to approve the changes that have been made to Colorado's ESEA waiver renewal request since it was first submitted to the U.S. Department of Education in March 2015. And to approve the submission of the ESEA waiver renewal request to the U.S. Department of Education for its consideration of the request.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Ms. Garf? Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Comments on the motion? Chair will make a few comments. It's clear that we have a very flawed federal statute, because if you have a federal statute in which virtually every Colorado school fails to make the grade, and every Colorado school would be required to send a letter to all of the parents noting that they're a failure, it's clear that this law has long, if it ever accomplished anything, it has clearly reached the point where it doesn't accomplish anything except grind out lots of paperwork to get waivers from the most onerous provisions. I tried to examine some of the consequences and did talk to several superintendents, and while my inclination is not to support this waiver, I think a good part of the job of this board is to try not to make life more difficult for our local school districts. And it's clear that life would be more difficult for many of those school districts without a waiver, and would likely result in the waste of taxpayer resources. There are a number of advantages to not having the waiver, one of which would be to try and remind our members of Congress that they really ought to do something about this, and that the federal intrusion into education is not productive in achieving either their objectives or in achieving the educational objectives of the parents and teachers and school boards and superintendents in this state. I think it's safe to say that No Child Left Behind has been a catastrophic failure, and it really is time to move on. And I would strongly suggest that this is not remedied in the next year with some change in statutes, that getting a waiver approved. And let me ask, what's the term of this waiver?
It'll be at the discretion of the U.S. Department of Education. It's likely that they would give us a one-year waiver, but they can give us up to a three-year waiver. Well,
let's not ask for more than a one-year waiver. And I think if some action isn't taken, perhaps that it's time for Colorado to put enough pressure on to see that some changes are made at the federal level, because the current situation is intolerably bad. Any further discussion? Yes, Ms. Goff?
I agree. I appreciate that. We were chatting earlier. I'm sorry I brought it up to them so early in the morning. I made apologies for that. But the situation with ESEA reauthorization right now, and what a roller coaster we've all been on, unnecessarily, I think. Mm-hmm. It would have been best if folks back there had not made any projections about timeline and just let it happen when it's going to happen. The latest that I have heard, and I believe a lot of you have been on some of the same conversations, is that they are now projecting that possibly by November 30th, there will be some activity on this, possibly on the floor of a certain chamber. So we've got that encouraging, hopefully. I mean, I'd love to think that would happen. The conference committees between the two chambers have are yet to be totally finalized, but that is in process. And once that happens, they trust that things can move along at a good, reasonable, productive pace. So that's what we know. So it's not that there's reason to think nothing is absolutely happening and that the whole thing is doomed amidst all the confusion in Washington. But on the other hand, realistically, until we see it, we don't see it. So I do think that for the purposes of the next year, a one-year waiver is reasonable and rational.
Yes, yeah. Dr. Flores?
Yes. I'm really concerned about the testing, the evaluation, because the administration came out on one side saying we were going to have less testing, and yet when experts kind of looked at it, it seemed as if we are going to have more testing than we had before. And so there isn't really any cut in testing. So I really worry about that and wonder if I know I had some discussions over with the legislature, some people at the legislature, and they were thinking of another test instead of PARC, and they were thinking of ACT Aspire, but it's still the same old testing, and it's still high stakes testing. It's still not getting at really putting the emphasis on kids who really need the emphasis of our putting more work and giving them just all the focus that they need. And I'm talking about kids that are just not making it. And so that's where I think the emphasis needs to be made and not on more and different high-stakes testing. That's what I think. And I think we just need to get back to local areas doing what they know best. And that's know best for the children in their communities. I think that's what needs to be done.
Yes. Ms. Masnick.
Director Flores, I would just like to say I completely agree. And the point I also second Director Durham's, or Chair Durham, sorry. comments that we need to move away from federal mandates, yes, and get back to a more local level. And I agree it's a difficult position that we're in once again. I really like the idea of one-year extension, and hopefully we can revisit this again next year with the help of our legislators.
Yeah, I would comment, Dr. Flores, I did ask staff to evaluate the U.S. Department of Education and the President's call to limit testing to the 2% standard. If we were to exceed the test, the 2% standard, we'd have to increase our testing by about threefold. So it was probably one of the most foreshow and less substantive announcements made by anyone in the education community in recent memory. So we're already well below that, and we face significant criticism for what we're already doing. So that provided really no help or no relief. And I'm sure there's something profound to say to Ms. Groff about an optimist in the morning. And I hope you're right, but we'll see if there's any cause for optimism. It's been moved and seconded that we approve the Dr. Shuffle.
Thank you. I don't know if this if you have this data with you, but do you happen to know how many Colorado schools are Title I and did not meet AYP for 2 years? I don't think we talked about that at the study session.
With the current targets? Right. I don't remember. We have about 660 Title I schools. The vast majority did not. I think it was 86%, 88% did not make AYP.
Yeah, I appreciated the study session. That was a great way to get together and go through the details of the document. I just continue to feel that this waiver doesn't help us. I feel like it continues to tie us to federal policy in ways that increase regulatory burden, do not decrease regulatory burden, which is what the waiver is supposed to be doing. It puts more students under this umbrella of federal policy than if we did not have the waiver. So that instead of just applying it to Title I schools, now we've pulled a whole number of other students under the umbrella of this policy. And so I appreciate all the work that went into negotiating with the feds. And certainly it's a very extensive document with a lot of work that has gone into it. I just feel like we're continuing to cede our authority as a state to the feds and aligning what we do with their policies. And I think in the end, that doesn't serve Colorado students well. Thank you.
Further comments?
One more comment.
Yes, Doctor.
And that is with all the schools that are in the bottom 5% or 10%, don't you think that if we get another bar just by the idea that you have another scale and it's going to be a scale, you're going to again have a bottom 5 and 10% that may be different than the other 5%? I mean, if you have a bell curve and you already take this other and you impose another group of all the schools in the state, you're going to get another 10%. So we've already done damage, I think, to those 10% down at the bottom. And now if we impose another year and another year, we just keep, instead of helping, we just create, you know, more chaos as opposed to really helping those schools to get better, I think is what is happening. And I think we've already done it to those 10%, and we're looking at them and such, and surely one or two will appear, but I think we need to stop this whole thing and really help those schools that are at the bottom, really help them instead of, you know, just getting a whip over them and menacing and destroying them. We need to stop that. And that's what the mandates from Washington asks us to do, and we're just going along with them. So that's not a very helpful activity that we are cooperating with the federal government in doing, and not really helping kids, I think.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Ms. Burson, would you please call the roll?
Board Member Flores?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Board Member Goff?
Yes.
Board Member Masnack?
Yes.
Board Member Rankin?
Yes.
Board Member Scheffel?
No.
Board Member Schroeder?
Yes.
And Chairman Derman?
No. That motion is adopted by a vote of 5-2. We'll proceed to item nine, public comment. We're a little ahead of schedule. Why don't we start public comment? Because we may not finish it before 10 o'clock, and then we're a little ahead of schedule, so much the better.
Let me see.
So if we have a sign-up sheet, we'll go ahead and start for those that are here, and we might renew it then after 10 o'clock.
Or not, you could have a little break now.
You want a little break?
Yeah, a little break.
Why don't we take 5 minutes, and then we'll start public comment at about 10 till.